Good afternoon, everyone. The clocks in this room are notoriously off. So it's after 2 o'clock already. So just to let everybody know, we're going by my clock, not by...
Is there a possibility that those clocks being a little off is a reflection of the board here? Maybe the energy is being picked up by the clocks? Is that a possibility? It's a joke. It's a joke.
We are slower than normal, that's for sure. All right. We do have a quorum. Would please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you. Report from closed session.
No formal report. We continued to discuss the general manager recruitment and the performance of the... No, we didn't discuss the performance of the acting general manager, just the general manager recruitment.
Okay. Thank you. Just to bring everybody up to date a little bit on the recruitment and GM search. We've received over 30 resumes. We still have a few that are trickling in. We got one last week. But we have selected 4 of the candidates who are the most highly qualified, and we'll be interviewing them next week. Hopefully, out of that 4, we will be able to pick someone that we will then maybe interview in more depth a second time. But hopefully, we can move forward from that point. If we can't, we'll have to look at other candidates and maybe reinitialize the search. So that's where we're at right now, and we feel pretty good about where we're headed. And then we have more work to do. This afternoon. So we'll be adjourning to another closed session today to work on job description, interview questions, and those kinds of things. Thank you. All right. Moving along, we'll now do any agenda additions or deletions. Anyone want to switch anything around that we've got left on the agenda? No? Okay. Very good. We'll now take public comment. We'll start with Ms. Cynthia Snell, followed by Karen Dean.
There's a button right at the base. Push.
There you go. Very good.
Got it. I'm here to talk about what I perceive as a problem in Cambria with people living, camping, partying in the woods, in the creek beds, the debris that's left from that, and the overall kind of social problem that it brings. I'd heard about it. I'd seen it online. I saw piles of trash pulled out by citizens along the road. And so when I was walking my dog behind the dog park over toward Highway 1, I saw all the little trails leading into the bushes above the creek bed and just out of curiosity thought, I wonder if this is where they've been pulling out trash. And I was appalled to see huge piles of not just trash, but chairs, little refrigerator boxes, so on and so forth, in each of the 6 little pathways I walked into. I did take photos. I don't know if you care to look at them or not or need to. I've heard you've been doing some cleanup on your own lands. So I'm here to find out what should and can this organization do, maybe in concert and conjunction with other organizations, individuals, nonprofits, government entities, et cetera, to address the problem of not just the trash and how that's bad for the environment and the citizens, but also the overall problem of homelessness, joblessness, drug and alcohol addiction, and mental health. So I'd love to have feedback from you at this time or at some point, and also to find out what we as citizens can do to cooperate.
Great, thank you. Ms. Madrid, would you like to comment a little bit on what the CCSD has been doing as far as trash?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President. I did have a meeting this morning with Carlos Mendoza, our Facilities and Resources Supervisor, and he is here if you have more specific questions for him. But we talked about him and his department, which is a department of three, and how there are more than there are too many homeless camps for them to reasonably consider cleaning up, especially when you consider the legal requirements for cleaning those up and noticing and removing the people or residents and then storing their valuables or personal belongings. So far, they have cleaned up several camps. They did spend a whole day. We hired a contractor to help them, and I did talk with their staff this morning as well, and they said they did make a good day of it. But it is a really serious hazard. There are needles. There is all kinds of things that I won't describe because they're pretty unsavory. I am concerned about the safety of our staff and anybody else who might actually be going there cleaning up. So I have reached out to Bruce Gibson. The Friends of the Fiscalini Ranch Preserve are also interested in helping us come up with either resources or planning opportunities and possible deterrents. I've reached out to the Sheriff's Department, and we do plan on bringing it forward to the board for formal consideration of an adoption of a policy on April 11th agenda. And so those are really the highlights of our discussions.
Good. Thank you. Thank you for that update. And thank you, Ms. Snell. I would like to say that as far as the public doing anything about cleaning up the camps, again, as Ms. Madrid said, there are some very unsavory and unsafe issues out there, and I think it would be best if you didn't do much of that on your own. You certainly don't want to run into one of those homeless people and get into an altercation with them or something about something. So please either deter that or get the sheriff to help out or even call the CCSD and maybe we can help out if we've got manpower available. Okay. Vice President.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to follow up on what President Pearson just said, as well as Acting General Manager Madrid, Ms. Madrid. Carlos gave a fairly lengthy presentation around this issue at the recent FFRP meeting, which was a week ago last night. So I just want to kind of make some additional comments. He remarked, and I believe I have this fact correct, that they had discovered somewhere between 20 and 25 homeless encampments just in the previous month on the ranch, and that they were in partnership, endeavoring to work in partnership with law enforcement to remove as many of these encampments as possible, but also that to really be on top of this particular issue, it would take, like, patrolling the ranch or wherever we would choose to, probably, let's say, every 3 days to really be on top of the problem, which is almost impossible to do considering the manpower that's available to the district as well as law enforcement. So I thought I'd, and it is obviously a very serious problem, and the district and Carlos trying to follow up on that as much as possible, especially with the ranch and other areas that might be a little bit more problematic. Thank you.
Director Rice.
I don't want to belabor the issue or have discussion before we have our item on the 11th, but I do want to point out that we're talking about people, human beings that deserve dignity. They are not all crazy. They are not all dependent on drugs. And most of them are totally fine, except for they choose not to have a roof over their head for some reason or other. And we need to not act like they are not human beings deserving of dignity. This state constitution specifically says that all people are by nature free and independent and have inalienable rights. Among these are enjoying and defending life and liberty, acquiring and possessing and protecting property, and pursuing and obtaining safety, happiness, and privacy. A person may not be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law or denied equal protection of the laws, whether they have a roof over their head or not. They are still a member of this community. So let's not demonize the folks that are currently without a home.
Okay, thank you. I really don't want to get into a debate here. Like you said, can we put it off till the 11th, Vice President Farmer? Yeah, okay. Thank you. Ms. Dean, followed by Mr. Sigler.
Good afternoon. Karen Dean, Cambria. Some comments were made at a previous meeting about how long the board takes to deliberate on some things. I would just like to say that I appreciate the fact that the board of directors spends the time to thoroughly examine and discuss all of the things before you make a decision. The community has begged for transparency and understanding for so long, and I feel like this board is delivering it, and I appreciate it, and I thank you. Now I'm going to put on my green space hat. A comment was made also that we need to have a native garden. I think an area that was suggested was between Rabobank and the bridge. You may or may not be aware that Green Space has been working on a native garden for well over a year. It's called Pocahontas Park, and it is on the corner of Wilton and Ramsey off of Burton, just east of Highway 1. We will have a grand opening for this native garden somewhere in August, and you're all welcome to come and see what the native plantings look like. I would also like to tell you about Earth Day, which is going to be April 21st. We are joining forces with Soto True Earth, and we're going to be having a lot of the local community organizations there. So we are all working together for a joint purpose of Earth Day in this community. One of the things we're really excited about is our Monterey Pine program. We have worked out an arrangement with State Parks to plant 3,000 trees on their property. So we are going to be having trays of 98 cells, 100 of those, and we're going to ask people, 30 of those, we're going to ask 30 families to come and take a tray and adopt these trees and nurture them and water them and join in with us in planting these trees on state parks. Each family will have a circle of their own to plant their trees in. So it'll give you a little bit of pride knowing that you're restoring our forest. We're also going to have a lot of live entertainment and all local coastal artists. We're also going to have a tiny home. A lot of people have been talking about tiny homes, and Hope Village is going to be bringing one for people to look at. So I just want to welcome all of you to Earth Day on April 21st. Thank you.
Thank you. Are you going to have the Easter Bunny there, too?
I don't know, but I am going to be making cookies for the kids, and there will be Easter cookies as well as Earth cookies with all the continents and the oceans on them. And we'll have wine and beer. Thank you. But not for the kids.
Mr. Sigler, followed by Ms. Desmond.
Good afternoon. I'd like to follow up on comments I made at the continuation meeting on the 5th of this month. Informing public about costs is important. I'd start, though, with the with context that matters most to the public, how much we pay. Bartles and Wells compared Cambria's rates, including the costs of the SWF, to six other coastal communities in San Luis Obispo County. Two, Morro Bay and Los Osos CSD, do pay less for water. That leaves four who are paying more. And that includes our charges for the SWF. Total water and wastewater places us as the second lowest, with five communities paying more. So let's not lose sight of the bottom line for the ratepayers as we do discuss costs. One of the primary tasks as board members is, and will continue to be, to assure that Cambrians get the maintenance, operational efficiencies, and upgrades promised with our current rate structure. To be effective, you're going to need budgets and financial reports that inform both you and the public about progress. Past reporting doesn't measure up. Even worse, if you base your understanding on accounts payable runs, particularly without understanding the difference between income, expense, assets, and liabilities, the foundations of accounting, your judgment's going to be impaired. It's a huge step between where the district reporting has been and the information that you and we need. And I know there is significant progress for more meaningful reports, and I hope you're going to see results of that very soon. I think you will. In the meantime, pejorative statements based on an incomplete understanding do have the effect of biasing the community toward opposition, with the potential to marginalize the assets in question. I think that approach is misguided and creates bad policy. A more rational approach is to take stock of the assets we own and to maximize their utility. So please take constructive action to make sure Cambrians get what we're paying for. I'd like to think that's why we elected you. Thanks.
Thank you. And we now have Ms. Desmond. Am I pronouncing that correctly, ma'am?
Yes, Teresa Desmond.
Thank you. And followed by Ms. Dickinson.
We had a discussion on Nextdoor.com and regarding the trash and all this stuff that we've been finding all along the creek behind the dog park and everywhere else. And so some of us gathered yesterday morning, and we had a really good discussion, and it was very informative. And we decided that we would be working with public information, the news stations, AM radio station, SLO Sheriff, Cambria Fire Department, State Parks, CCS, and the CCSD Board. Everyone at the meeting volunteered to contact certain agencies as a group. And then I received a phone call in response to an email that I sent to Carlos Mendoza. And I was very encouraged to find out that the CCSD is working with the various agencies, the fire department, the sheriffs, and that kind of thing. And I also was informed that they found over 35 abandoned trash encampments. They were in there with bulldozers and have removed 40 yards of rubbish with over 100 syringes and drug paraphernalia. And they said that they would work with us. And I'm planning on composing a letter to each of the board members with the as a draft with approval by the group. And Carlos encouraged us to participate by offering to assist with cleanup through the CCSD, keep the community meetings going, and also we realize that it seems like it's a giant elephant that we have sitting in the middle of our community here of problems on multiple levels. They are moral, social, financial, substance abuse issues, homelessness, housing, infectious diseases, polluting our water and our animals, that live in the ocean, and not to mention our water table. It's a lot. It is a lot, but I'm trying to keep the group focused on living in the solution, not in the problem. And so we're just gonna focus down on working with the CCSD and doing all these things. And we plan to meet again in 2 weeks at probably 10 a.m. in the morning. We're going to meet again and see how this goes and attend these meetings. And I'm here as a representative of that group. And I'm very grateful for the community stepping up and stepping out of their comfort zone. And I'm finding that some people would rather complain and bloviate on the nextdoor.com rather than solve the problem. So I'm here for the solution. Thank you.
Where's that meeting going to be taking place and when?
We haven't decided, but it'll take place next in 2 weeks. I don't know whatever two Tuesdays is from now. No, it's on Wednesday. I'm so sorry. Wednesday.
Like 2 weeks from yesterday.
2 weeks from yesterday,
right,
at 10 a.m. And I'm trying to get an application filled out for the Rabobank to see if we can meet as a small group there. So.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Ms. Dickinson.
President Pearson, may I make...
Yes, please.
For your information, there was, and I'm sure that Director Howell will probably address this in some amount, but there was quite a bit of conversation last night at the North Coast Advisory Council, the NCAC. And at that point, there was also a desire for the NCAC to host a public town hall and forum for discussion. And if you need to have the contact information or if I can obtain your contact information, I'd like to put you in contact with Susie McDonald, who's the chair of the NCAC, who will be handling or interacting with other board members to bring that about. And as you would like to perform a point person opportunity, I think it's a great opportunity for synergizing off of one another for that.
All right, thank you. Ms. Dickinson, followed by Ms. Bettenhausen.
Thank you, President Pearson. Several days ago, I sent an email to the board and to two members of staff regarding the issue of trash and how one young man was taking his two young children on a walk near the creek by the Highway 1 Cambria Road Bridge and came across, as many of you may have seen, because I think I included the video to all of you, and he took it upon himself to clean up a massive mess, some very dangerous, I mean, we're talking about electrical saws or needles, hypodermic needles. So I really would have to say that when we have to feel, we feel certainly feel sympathy. And I can't say empathy because I've never been homeless. But I do really want to thank Ms. Snell and Ms. Desmond for their comments. As a member of this community or previous communities, I have an obsessive compulsive disorder when it comes to trash. It doesn't matter where the trash is. On the street, in a restroom, public restroom, in a restroom, I have to clean it up. I just can't leave it there. So to say that we are not to touch it, are you kidding? This Coastal Commission has a cleanup day. There's squibbing day. There are all kinds of agencies and foundations that have cleanup days, and we are not told that we are not allowed to do it. So to be told by some folks here who should have much more interest in our creeks, in our water quality, and what this damage can do. Please, please take more responsibility than that. And to think that the community is coming together because of that one man initially on Next Door, and then what followed was really quite amazing. So please, at least give us more consideration than what I've heard here today. And by the way, when a person is on using public property, that is not possessing and protecting a property when they choose to, you know, to destroy that property in essence, but create some real difficulties for others, not only for the environment, for others, and real potential dangers. So we do have to do something about it. But I love what Ms. Snell had to say, is that we need to find a way of helping folks who really need help. And that to me, is the crux of it. So there's that. And I would like to say that I was very troubled by a staff member in the way this staff member treated questions from Director Howell at the last meeting, February. I think it was the previous meeting. And I think any director deserves much more respect when a question is posed to staff, that they be respectfully answered, responded to. And I take issue with that, and I will continue to take issue with it to that person who is not here amongst us today. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bittenhausen.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I'm Elizabeth Bettenhausen, a resident of Cambria for about 18 years. And I want to give a bit of an environmental background for your discussion on April 11th about this issue of people who are living in various places in Cambria. One of the things that's really happening today is the discussion of the other, the alien, the person who's on the other side of the borderline that we have drawn appropriately for our own selves. I hope you will keep that in mind because a lot of the people who live outside houses, I put it that way, they aren't homeless, they live outside houses or apartments. And a lot of those people in town are veterans. And we have heard a lot lately on television about how veterans have been chastised by government agents, some of them elected by electoral colleges. I do not want us to make judgments universally about the people who live by the creek or who live in a tent in this town who sacrificed what they did for this country. Do not lump them all together under some rubric. There are lots of people in this town who use opioids and die from it. A lot of them live in very expensive houses. There are a lot of people in this town who use alcohol and die from it, like my brother did. He never lived in an expensive house, but he certainly had his own establishment to live in. There is a very increasing suicide rate in this country among young people. And a lot of the people who live by Santa Rosa Creek in various places that I've seen are young people. The housing prices in this country have gone uppity up, up, up for purposes that seem to have to do with this spelling of profit, P-R-O-F-I-T. We have extensive problems in our society, including right here in Cambria. And I urge you to take the possibility into consideration that on the 11th of April, when you deal with this issue more extensively than in public comment, you will invite members of our community who live by the creek, who hang out by the post office. I had a wonderful conversation when I tripped and fell down there by the post office, which seemed to have gotten things addressed a bit with the drainage pipes. I had a conversation with a man who does not live in a house or an apartment. He lives out in the world on the natural environment. And he said he really had a problem when he tripped and fell and did the same thing. It was a very interesting exchange of how we treat our public space, including that for which we are responsible as community service districts. So there's a layer upon layer upon layer of complexity here, and I hope that at the April 11th meeting, we can begin to address some of these issues as if we were, my God, in the same species as the people that we sort of rubrically call by this label, homeless people, when often they are the very people who appreciate the most the natural world in which we happen to be living here in Cambria. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we obviously have a homeless issue that we need to discuss, and I hope that town hall can happen soon. That would be great. Regular business. Item 11A. Ms. Madrid, would you like to introduce this issue?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the board. This item is regarding the Santa Rosa Schoolhouse relocation and appointment of an ad hoc committee. And discussion of the PROS committee's recommendations. I am going to turn it over to district council as he's a little more familiar with it than I am. So here
okay.
you go.
Mr. Carmel.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. Let's review what the PROS commission recommended. The PROS commission took the following action related to the Historical Society's three requests. After much discussion, a motion was made by Commissioner Johansson and seconded by Commissioner Atencio that we recommend to the CCSD the three items on their presentation, with the caveat that the PROS Commission be allowed to revisit their proposal as their plan progresses. Those three items are, one, that the CCSD board reaffirm their January 17th direction to staff to work with parties to the parcels recorded covenant and with the Historical Society representatives, negotiating amendments to allow for storage of the schoolhouse on that property, consistent with all County of San Luis Obispo requirements for movement and storage of building, and to allow for more long-term fixed use of the schoolhouse as a public museum on that property, and that the CCSD board approve a long-term lease for such use subject to negotiations and advice of counsel, and that the CCSD board ask to work with the Historical Society to determine water and sewer allocation in compliance with the district's municipal code. In our reading of the code, there are options in this regard. So those were the three items that they wanted. In sum, the Historical Society wants to move the Santa Rosa Schoolhouse to the Old Dog Park under a long-term lease, and connect to our water and sewer systems. And in order to do that, we'll have to amend the covenant and agreement that the district has with the Beringers, who seem amenable to doing that. And I know there was an ad hoc created of Director Farmer and Director Howell, and I suspect they probably have some information that will bring us all up to date.
Great. Thank you. Who's going to speak for the ad hoc? President Farmer.
Thank you so much, and I hope I can do so with half the eloquence of many of the folks that spoke in public comment. Obviously, this is on a more delightful issue, and that's the moving of the old schoolhouse. So we had a gathering yesterday for about 2 hours, first over at the site itself, and then we met at the Historical Museum, and it was John Ellers and Laurel Stewart, and she's here today, perhaps wanting to make some additional comments. And then Jim and Jan Beringer were there, and Brett Berry, who is donating as a well-respected architect in this community, is donating his time to this project, and then Director Howell and myself. And I would say, obviously, it was a very cordial and agreeable gathering that we had, and the Beringers have pretty much stated that they would go along with just about everything that the Historical Society would hope to accomplish, including, of course, moving the schoolhouse over to that site. I do want to mention a couple of things in case folks are concerned. With regard to water, people might be thinking, well, how much water is going to be used there, water and sewer? The possibility is that the schoolhouse will probably be open maybe on Saturdays and Sundays, and then for about 3 hours each. Occasional events where children will be bused in and participate and just enjoying the environment, whatever activities they participate in. And perhaps the use of water would be 3/4 of a unit per billing period. So that's not really a dilemma that we need to be too concerned about. Also, there might be some occasional use of water for landscaping. With regard to the permits that are involved, this particular project is probably just going to involve a building and moving permit. It's far away enough from the riparian area, so it won't be an environmental issue, and the Coastal Commission will not be involved. So for the most part, like I said, the Beringers are in pretty much in agreement with what the Historical Society would like to do. And so Jim himself, and of course we as the ad hoc committee recommend that the district approve moving forward, and especially in allowing, this is one of the main things, before this project even begins to, how can we say, settle in and get the schoolhouse moved, there has to be some soils testing and other investigating of certain topics that need to take place before this. We need to allow for that kind of access once the document, the covenant document, is created and approved. So we're just hoping that legal counsel and the Beringers can get together and get this document approved, and move forward and address this more perhaps at the April meeting. And then the Historical Society and their architect can have approval to move forward and submit everything they need to the county sometime in early June. So that's kind of where we're at right now.
Okay, thank you. And I do have a request from Ms. Stewart to speak, so.
Now, for the record, Laurel Stewart representing the Cambria Historical Society. I wanted to thank President Pearson for jumping ahead last meeting and establishing the ad hoc committee, and I appreciated their attendance yesterday at my perfectly timed meeting. I got a call at 9 o'clock that it was pouring rain, and were we really going to be walking around on the dog park? So maybe it won't be pouring rain, and at 10 minutes to 10, it stopped, and we walked out on the dog park. So, we have reached agreement, actually, with the Behringers, and Mr. Behringer and Mrs. Behringer are working with Tim, I believe, to formulate the language for that covenant. And what I'm asking basically are not only the three things, the three recommendations which we requested of PROS and they passed on to you, that you take some kind of action to tell us that you are willing to go ahead and negotiate for some kind of lease. We're not saying a decision today what that lease would look like. That you would be willing to ask staff to start working on how an water allocation would look, where it would come from, how it would be. And I better put my glasses on. Mm-hmm. And as well, we would like to possibly just reassign the access agreement relating to the potential lease of property, as Harry was saying. From APN 013-264021, the Pocket Park, to 151045, 013-151045, at 2706 Main Street. The document was already made up by council, and we could sign that, and the manager could sign that, and we actually have a biologist waiting breathlessly to come on the property next week. And a really good archaeological firm already giving us a 50% pro bono, very good bid for that work. And we've also received from Shawnee Siong and Erlen Singewald at County directions as to how to proceed with phase one and phase two. And our desire, firm desire, would be to have things resolved at least by the end of May with CCSD, but preferably by the end of April. And then by August, we could be in construction of a foundation. We don't want to move the building and have it in storage. We want to get the foundation in, work on bringing in lines. We wouldn't be using the building until next year. We would have a lot of work to do on the building. That would be phase two, and we'd do that in spring. And I don't know, maybe have it open by end of next summer or midsummer 2020. I think that's all I have to say, but I'd like to stand here and answer questions if you have them.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions or discussion at this time? Director Rice.
I just have a question, and Carlos is still here. Maybe he can answer. We're doing maintenance because we own the property, or we have this agreement, or I'm not. I'm just not clear on who manages the, and if that we would be only a, we would be then managing the rest of it, but not a, whatever parcel it's put on, or how that. We need to at least address that, I think, at some point, even if it's not already solved.
That's something I'd like to address. We would like to negotiate that, but we heard from Jim yesterday that he talked with Carlos, and it was a figure mentioned as to what three mowings a year cost when they mow six. Well, it's 6.3 acres, but a lot of that is down in a riparian triangle and what have you. But still, it's a sizable job, so we know what it costs. And so we really don't want to maintain 6 acres, but we would definitely be responsible for our own schoolyard with a little perimeter fence around the schoolhouse, per se. And it would be my thinking that our rock-based driveway and parking spaces, you know, the paved ADA space, the pathways, the concretized pathways for ADA accessibility, all of that, the building, everything, would be our responsibility. And we could perhaps share in the maintenance of the surrounding area. And we also had planned aspects to the development, such as, we're still working on it, of course, but, you know, split rail fencing around the entire property to keep people from driving onto the property, because we plan to have a locked gate unless we're there. And maybe planting some oaks, natives, that sustain themselves along the perimeter inside the fencing. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Since Director Farmer does some work at the museum, he could probably go out there on a mower and just take care of it for us.
I don't think a mower, but I'll be glad to do it by hand. Thank you.
We've had a lot of public input on things like there was concern at PROS, and there was concern when we were discussing the project yesterday. This has been all along with parking. But we think that our usage, our plan of use, and, of course, county requirements are minimal for a building of that size, which is a museum. And there were suggestions like Stanley of PROS came up with use the trolley for any events that you might have, you know, staging such as the Lodge does with their event. Lots of creative suggestions. We also compromised. I love the spirit of compromise yesterday when we were talking about things. Well, also it was practical considerations, like our architect was saying, you know, if you're going to have these 3 or 4 nighttime events that you talk about, those would be the events, otherwise it would be the walk-in traffic and the school kids. You're going to have lighting on all of the paths and parking lot lighting and all that kind of thing. And so we're thinking, yeah, we could stop, and it would be also a nuisance for one of the parties to the covenant, really, to have lights on. So, perchance. And so we're talking about our use being modified to have events that end at sunset.
Good idea.
And we're talking about having the restroom inside the schoolhouse, even though that modifies an historic structure so that we can control it and we won't have a building that hide the homeless behind the schoolhouse, that kind of thing. We think about it all.
Good. Very good. Thank you. Director Rice.
So does the board need to take action or just give direction to staff? Where are we on this particular item for us?
Yeah, can we resolve to move ahead with this or something in that manner?
It's always cleaner to have a motion, but you can direct staff, and okay. I think we know the direction.
I'll entertain a motion to move ahead from the ad hoc committee then.
I move to accept the recommendations of the ad hoc committee and move forward with the transfer.
Second.
Okay.
Does that give you the information you need?
Did you mean the ad hoc or the PROS committee? Because we were considering recommendations from the PROS committee.
My motion is intended to move forward with the process of placing the schoolhouse on the old dog park property and the related requests that were outlined by Ms. Stewart.
Including sewer and water.
Including the sewer and water, figuring out how we...
Thank you.
And the one I added, that was of concern, that we have access if we change those documents tomorrow, if you guys are there?
If that's a possibility, I think, yeah.
I'll just redo the agreement and ship it over to...
Okay, and will we do our indemnity?
Right.
With the proper parcel and address?
Right.
Yeah, and give you the proof. Thank you.
So my motion is to continue that process, including the recommendations made by Laurel
PROS.
Stewart. Yeah, okay. And PROS, yeah.
Okay, we good
is
with that?
Okay.
All right.
Works fine.
Okay. Director Howell?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
We have a vote then.
Thank you.
Director Rice?
Aye.
Director Steidel?
Aye.
Director Howell?
Aye.
Vice President Farmer?
Aye.
President Pearson?
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0. Thank you very much. We can move ahead, staff, with getting all of those items done. Then, Mr. Carmel, you're gonna write up a lease for us that we can examine at next meeting.
Hopefully, yes.
Okay, thank you. All right. Next on the agenda is regular business 11B. You want to introduce this one, Ms. Madrid?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. This item is for discussion and consideration to fill a vacant seat on the policy committee. At the last board meeting, the board meeting at March 5th, Director Rice did announce that Lauren Younger, who was at that time a member of the policy committee, had to resign. So the board asked us to bring back the applications of the people who had previously applied, and their applications are attached. It's Jim Berenger and Leslie Richards. And so with that, I'll turn it over to the board.
Thank you. My opinion is that we should reopen this to other people who wanted to apply, since we only have two applications at this time, and we really didn't give other people a chance. So if we could table this discussion until next time, if that does anybody else have? Director Howell.
Well, we do have some applications still on hand that we could deal with that for whatever reason didn't get passed on to us. One is Paul Nugent, who volunteered for both infrastructure and policy, and then Ted Key, who volunteered for infrastructure but would probably be willing to do policy. So I don't know if we need to open it all the way up. Maybe we should consider the other ones that we have. The only reason being it delays the process a bit. You know?
Yeah, but those two weren't included in.
No, they didn't. But they actually came in with when we did the original thing, and it was an oversight, I suspect, on staff's part.
Well, but the applications themselves directed towards why the individual felt that they could make a contribution to a specific committee, not to any committee in general. So I'm inclined to say that if they wanted to apply, that they would be part of that process.
To them, Director Rice.
Excuse me. Oh, pardon me. Before, forgive me.
Sure.
Paul Nugent did ask for both committees, and it's very clear from his application that he did so. So I don't think that argument applies in this case.
Okay.
I tend to agree with President Pearson's assessment of it, and we can keep the two applications that are in. I don't think we should table it. If we're going to open the applications, we need to take action to open the applications and set a deadline.
Okay. True.
If that's the action that the board majority would like to.
Yeah, and again, I don't mean to dismiss Mr. Nugent's. Didn't he get on one of the committees?
He did. I chose him for the infrastructure, but I'm happy to trade him for somebody.
But I don't think we want somebody on two either. Yeah. So, I think our aim was to limit everybody to one. Okay.
Got it.
And thank goodness we have that problem that we have so many people that want to participate. I'm very happy about that.
Yes.
May I ask a question though? I guess my only concern is it, and this is more for Director Rice, if we delay to another month, is this going to cause a problem with the existing committee? You can still go forward. Okay.
Yeah.
No, it was the answer to that question. I'm shaking my head. Yes.
All right. I have a request to speak on this one by Tina Dickinson.
So I have a question on this item. So I'm not really clear yet. Are you just going to be looking at applications that were already? You're taking new applications? Is that my understanding?
Well, I don't think we've decided yet.
Well, it would be nice to sort of know. I thought we'd.
Well, we're gonna have to decide that. We're talking about that.
All right. Well, sometimes you do and sometimes you don't. I'll just wait to see what you say. But I think given the discussion already that's taken place where Well, it's so confusing. I think maybe you should just open it up. My recommendation would be you just open it up to new applications and existing, or have them reapply. That would be the fair way to go. Thank you.
Good. Thank you. Okay. Do I have a motion to do something here, Director Rice? This is your policy committee, so.
I move to open the application process and include the applications that have already been submitted, Beringer and Richards, so they don't have to apply again. But any new applicants should apply by enough time ahead of the next meeting, so I don't know what the date would be. I guess I'm not ready for the motion yet.
Yeah, let's make it March 29th, next Friday.
Okay, so I move that we open the application process for the policy committee with a deadline of March 29th for applications to be submitted. And members must be a registered voter in Cambria.
Okay, very good.
Second
by Ms. Director Seidel.
Do you want it brought back on the April 11th agenda?
Yes, thank you.
I'd like to amend my motion and add it to the April 11th agenda.
Okay, very good. And you're all right with the amendment? Yes. All right, can we have...
I have a question. Sorry.
Yes, sure.
It wasn't clear from the motion. Should the those who have already applied, should they resubmit applications? Or do we just hold those?
Mr. Beringer and Ms. Richards do not need to reapply. Their applications will be put in with the ones that are received by the 29th.
Thank you.
Others, as you were saying, Ted Key and others that may be interested need to get an application in.
Okay. We're ready now. Thank you.
Director Rice?
Aye.
Director Seidel?
Aye.
Director Howe?
Aye.
Vice President Farmer?
Aye.
President Pearson?
Aye. All right, next item on the agenda. Yes, Director Howe.
Before we move on, I do have one comment to say regarding our process, and I just express this to the board for us to think about. When we ask people from the community to volunteer their time to assist us in our job, we need to ensure that our process, as we decide who is on these committees, we need to be very assured that we are very careful in our process, that we don't, someone puts themselves forward, they need to be treated in a very respectful and thankful way, and we need to avoid, and I'm directing this also to the public, we need to avoid any kind of character questions of people's character or other kind of commentary. We do not wish to subject people to embarrassment when they have put themselves forward. We invite them to come forward, so we need to be respectful of that. And I kind of feel that we kind of failed a little bit the last time around. So that's my only comment on this.
Okay.
Thank you. Sorry.
Thank you. Remind us of that on the 11th. Thank you. All right. We're on to item 11C, which is discussion and consideration of adoption of the ordinance. Can you introduce this one, please?
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. I'm going to turn this over to district council. Oh, I'm sorry. This one was mine. My bad.
No, it wasn't. It's mine.
Okay.
I've had this six times now. This is to consider adoption of the ordinance amending the affordable housing program. You introduced the ordinance at the last meeting. There are three main components to the ordinance. It expands the eligible categories to mirror those at the county. It makes permissive the current 50% reduction in connection fees. And it makes permissive your ability to issue intent to serve letters and to allow a project to move forward to development. And with that, I'll turn it back to you. I know there was an ad hoc on this one, too, in case there are any questions.
Okay, very good. We do have public comment, Tina Dickinson.
Thank you. This is just a clarification on a letter, on a report, actually, that came out in the Cambrian after the February 28th meeting. and I was mischaracterized in my comments in the paper, in the Cambrian. So I wrote a letter on March 7th to the editor of the Tribune, who forwarded it to the editor of the Cambrian, and this was what was said in the Cambrian. Tina Dickerson said she doesn't support the ordinance changes, but mentioned a 900-square-foot home in Cambria for $2,300 a month, not including utilities. I reviewed the tape of the meeting, and I did not comment one way or the other regarding the ordinance changes. I said this is a complex issue. I felt it was perpetuated by some owners of multiple homes in Cambria charging rents that I consider exorbitant and unaffordable for those who work here. I referred to the excerpt in the Cambrian that I just read to you. The theme of my comments was rent control. I asked if it might be possible for an ordinance, and this was my only reference to the word ordinance, to be implemented for rent control in Cambria, understanding that Cambria is an unincorporated area. I asked, how do we stop this, meaning out-of-control rents that the majority of those people who need to find rentals cannot afford? So the Cambrian seems to be reluctant to offer my letter to the paper or have it submitted, so I just want people to be very clear. I didn't support the ordinance one way or the other, but I do support some effort that be made so people can afford to live here who are working for $11, $12 an hour and have to work several jobs in order to even get affordable or low-income housing. I don't really know where this is all going, and I just guess that if council could answer the question as to whether the county exemption for... And I'm confused because there are so many categories. Would it just be for low-income housing? Or do we look, or is it moderate income or affordable income? What we need here is housing that people who earn very little can actually afford. Can you please clarify, Mr. Carmel?
Thank you, Ms. Dickerson.
So could you ask Mr. Carmel?
I'll ask him.
Thank you.
Mr. Carmel, do you want to try to answer that question?
I need the question restated. Someone else can do it.
I think what she was asking is, are we doing low-income housing or affordable housing, or what are we doing here? And I think basically it's we're moving into conformance with the county regulations and code, and there are actually five categories there, if I'm not mistaken, okay? And they're all called affordable, but there are five different levels of affordability, correct?
That's very well stated.
Okay. Thank you. That is the answer. All right, and we have discussion by the board. Director Rice.
I continue to be reluctant to have the workforce level housing be included without having the knowledge of the difference between that level and market rate. However, I am going to support the ordinance change because I think it is incumbent upon us as a board to do what we can to address the issues of affordability in this town, because we don't have any possibility of controlling rents or any other authority to cover these things. I would also like to ask Mr. Carmel, the general manager or designated, I'm looking at page 70, Item E, it says the general manager or designated, middle of the page, designated representative is authorized to establish such procedures and forms. Does that mean it would come to the board prior to an intent to serve being issued? The board has discretion. Is that in that
somewhere?
No, the board is the one that has discretion on the intent to serve letters. This is more general in terms of just establishing a cogent program so that the public can know exactly how to move through it.
So the process would be somebody would come, say, I'm going to build an affordable unit or units, and then it comes to the board to determine whether we issue an intent to serve. So we could determine whether, on a case-by-case, whether affordable is low-income, very low-income, or workforce for the project.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you. That helps relieve some of my concerns regarding that level of workforce.
Thank you. Vice President Farmer.
I just want to make this comment, and while it doesn't necessarily apply to this particular item on the agenda here, it deeply saddens me, you know, living in this wonderful town, that, you know, one of the main reasons that we're having such difficulty with regard to adequate and affordable housing in this area is not unlike what's happening all over this country, is that people who own rental property are jacking up rents, and also people are removing long-term rentals from the market and just making them vacation rentals because that puts more money in their pocket. And that's contributing as much to the problem, like I said, not just here but elsewhere. That's a dilemma, I guess, of conscience or one's moral compass or whatever you want to call it, or your own economic needs. But I just wanted to mention that. Thanks.
Thank you. Director Howell.
According to my reading of the county ordinance, and I obviously I can make mistakes, but this is my understanding is that classifying some project as affordable means that it is not subject to the county's present countywide zero growth rate. But the same ordinance accepts certain areas of the county, and one of those areas is Cambria, where it says that, yes, affordable housing, we can put it here, but Cambria has to have enough water to do it. So it is up to, in other words, even though a project may be classified as affordable, and may not be subject to that growth rate, it is still this board's ability to say, I'm sorry, we do not have the water to support this at that time. Now, that's my reading of the ordinance. So we're not really opening the gates here. So I just wanted to make that understood, at least my understanding.
Good. Thank you. All right. Can I have a motion to approve the ordinance as forwarded to us?
Yeah. So move.
I think you're going to have to read this one.
This requires a little more than that. I can phrase it for you. And then you can say so moved.
As he, what he said, yeah, right, okay.
Where am I? Yeah. Move to adopt an ordinance amending section 8.04.110 of the Cambria Community Services District Municipal Code relating to affordable housing program and waive further reading.
Is that what I say?
No, you say so moved.
So moved. I so move.
Second it.
All right, thank you. I have a request for public comment at this point. Mr. Moffitt? Ms. Moffitt, I'm sorry.
It's okay, I'll go by either one. I don't, which... All right, is that better?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So on this affordable housing issue, I'd really like to know what the parameters are. If we could get some feedback on what are the five categories, and within those five categories, what are the price ranges? Because without having any information on that, I don't understand what affordable housing actually means. So if we could get that, that'd be great. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. All right. All of that information is available on the county website, and we went into that ad nauseum.
And if you'd like to, if you contact me after, I can definitely let you know that information is available at the county's website. They have all of those definitions for each of the categories.
Thank you. It's also included in the staff report.
Okay.
The actual amounts?
No, I don't think the amounts are, but the categories are.
Yeah.
In the original staff report, I think it is.
But the amounts are. All right, can we have a vote, please?
Director Howell?
Aye.
Director Steidel?
Aye.
Director Rice?
Aye.
Vice President Farmer?
Aye.
President Pearson?
Aye. Motion carries 5-0. Move on to the next one, which is item 11D, discussion and consideration adoption of another resolution. Who's introducing this one? Mr. Carmel.
I got lucky today. Subsequent to your amending the bylaws at the last meeting, there were two additional provisions that were identified that the board sought to also revise. One of those is simply moving current 2.2, which I believe is in the meeting section, to the agenda section, and that would be in 3.2. It makes a lot of sense because 3.2 currently deals directly with public comment, and those three items in current 2.2 also deal with the board's response to public comment. And then the second one was to revise recently adopted section 7.2, which addresses board member conduct with relation to operational and personnel issues. It's very long and confusing and strict and severe, and there was a desire to make it a little more clear-cut and understandable, and that's what's before you today. So we have a resolution that will amend those two bylaws, and I'd be glad to answer any questions.
All right, thank you. We do have public comment once again on these. First, Mike Lyons.
I withdraw.
Withdraw. Very good. And the second, Ms. Bettenhausen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Elizabeth Bettenhausen, a resident of Cambria. I want to raise just one issue about 7.2. If you look at your page 72, wow. Page 72, not 7.2, but I'm talking about 7.2.
Okay.
I hardly ever get any laughs anymore from anything I say. It's just terrible. Okay. I want to say that in the second paragraph from the bottom, although not a whole paragraph, but what looks like the second paragraph from the bottom, it says individual board members should not involve themselves in the day-to-day operations of the district. My problem with that is that it is stunningly vague. I would be very reluctant to vote for somebody who didn't want to be involved in the day-to-day operations of the district. And there's no clarity as to whether that means what it means. So I have a suggested amendment for you. Make that first sentence read instead, the principal role of the directors of the district is to participate, then just continue then the next sentence. So you're basically deleting the vague because it does not specify what you're really concerned about. And that is that you are you're concerned about when directors individually and not as a member of the board in official action take actions which you think belong to the general manager. But since you're still working on the job description of the general manager, apparently, which I found rather interesting, I haven't the vaguest idea what this means. And I can say that I find in the United States today, people are getting more and more and more concerned that people who are elected know what in the hell is going on locally, whether that local is a state or a region or a community services district. And I don't think that the general manager should be replaced by individual actions of individual directors. But I think if you have individual directors who don't know, who aren't really familiar with how the thing is operating every day, how's it doing? Who have they talked to lately without intruding on the authority of the general manager to manage that activity? Then if you don't have directors like that, you might as well just all go on a picnic because you don't know what's going on. Thank you.
Thank you. New one from Ms. Tina Dickinson.
I believe I've already spoken a little bit on this issue, maybe at the last meeting. I've mentioned in at least two meetings, actually, that my concern about a staff member not being able to speak to a board member because of the issues we've had with, can't speak for the a general manager prior to the last two, but I do know that there were issues with staff and the general manager in both of those situations. I don't really know how staff is going, if you know, we talk about, well, they have to go to the GM. But if you have issues with the GM, then where is there some recourse? I'd like to know. And I would also say that if this is in a way of, you know, it says when presented with questions or complaints from citizens or staff related to operational or personnel matters, board members should listen to the concerns expressed and either confer with the general manager or district council as appropriate, or refer the individual to the GM for resolution of their concerns. Well, good luck on that. Going forward, I hope it will be better. But I don't even get responses now from president or board members or staff when I write to you about things. One board member may, or possibly, but hardly ever, a staff member, unless it's a public records request. So this is, to me, is extremely troubling. And if you're trying, you know, if you're going to try to limit the public's access, I would say, then I find this extremely, even more troubling. I just don't think this is the way it should be. We should be trying, as I mentioned to President Pearson, the number one goal, as I recall, for this board was public outreach, transparency. You know, I don't see how you get it this way. I'm not saying that board members should be running up to the district office every day. That's not right at all. And they should not be involved, generally speaking, with the operations of the district, unless there's a problem that they've been alerted to or they've found out on their own. Then they should be addressing it. But, you know, if this district doesn't start getting its act together by being transparent, then we don't have a hope of going forward in the right direction. It's really troubling as a member of the community who pays attention, as a few of us do. And I think maybe sometimes you should listen to us a little more than you do. I can't even get answers from our council. So good luck on this one. I hope you have a good discussion.
Thank you. Ms. Heinrichs?
Thank you for taking up this issue. I want to second what Elizabeth and Tina have both asked you to do. This came up at the last meeting when there was that discussion of the unannounced meeting out at the brine impoundment pond that concerned the community. And the pushback from staff was that the board needn't trouble their heads over this, that the staff will take care of it. In the overwhelming day-to-day, everyday events, of course that's true. The board doesn't need to be involved in what the staff's doing. However, in the case of situations like this, it's a very problematic facility. It's a subject of a $3.5 million lawsuit. It's under a cease and desist order. The district has paid over $50,000 in fines on it. This is a very troubled facility, and I, like Tina and Elizabeth, would appreciate that board members do take an interest in it, that they are on site out there, that they are working directly with the contractors rather than listening to staff recommendations. It's the professional staff that brought us this problem project. And I think at this point, it is not too much to say that the board needs to take a very close interest in resolving it. And as there are personality issues that have come up in the past where staff were having difficulties with the general manager and yet were not able to speak with the board members about these problems, the board members, I think, should have some latitude in being able to discuss matters with staff members, certainly dealing with the wastewater treatment center as well. These are times, we have a small district. I see no reason to have such a rigid limitation on how board members and staff work together. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Board member comments. This is pretty much the language I think that we all agreed to last time. So does anyone have any commentary? Yes, Director Rice.
I do have one concern with the paragraph that Dr. Bettenhausen was referring to about the board. Their principal role is to participate in the process of establishing and the district's goals and policies. I'm kind of reluctant to memorialize that that's our only job, since we are also supposed to be a fiscally accountable to the community and our constituents. So we are supposed to be, we have a fiduciary responsibility that is ignored in this that I would be concerned. And again, I apologize for not having noticed this when we discussed it prior, but when I was rereading it in preparation for today, it just occurred to me that it doesn't have anything about our fiduciary responsibility, because the buck has to stop with us on the money side of it, I think, and then having nothing in there about the accountability of the general manager. I mean, I'm okay if we can bring this back on a short timeline instead of waiting until next year, but I'm just reluctant to memorialize that our job's only to, because that's how I read it right now.
Okay. Yes, Director Steidel.
I guess I don't read it in the same way, so I guess it's just a difference of opinion, but... number one, it's not the only goal. It's a principal goal, and it is the principal goal. And it's establishing the policies and goals. And we went through an entire process in goal setting and everything at the beginning of the year that we very specifically outlined and defined the aspects of the financial needs and expectations, and the establishment of a financial subcommittee that supports the board of directors and being able to provide assistance and recommendations in their fiduciary goals. So I guess I'm not, just because the term policies and goals was used at a 30,000 foot level rather than the idea of going through and listing out every increment of responsibility of the board, I don't see the need of just carving out fiduciary. If you want to do that, then we, you know, start talking about all of the other individual elements that sit underneath our policies and goals.
Okay, thank you. Director Howell.
Oh, thank you. I think this is before us actually as a resulting of a request that I made, because I was unhappy with the language that was in the bylaws at the moment, and Mr. Carmel was kind enough to go over and rewrite it. And I have to say, at my first reading, in fact, even up until this discussion and hearing from the public, I felt positive about this. I do believe it's an improvement over what we have. Excuse me. However, two things. I think the fact that this is an area that needs to be crystal clear. And the very fact that we have two differences of opinions here with two directors suggests to me that it is not crystal clear. As a matter of fact, I think the fiduciary responsibility is probably, at least from the point of view of the public, probably the absolute most important aspect, and it's the one thing that the public is furious with this board now, is that they often feel that the board... prior boards have failed in their fiduciary responsibilities. So I do believe that the mere fact that there is a lack of clarity here, plus, so that's one thing. What I'm proposing is that I think we need more work on this. I don't think it's quite ready yet. And I think this is extremely important to get this right. And by getting it right, I mean having it so clear that questions about who can do what, that we don't have folks from the public coming offering interpretations, which may be different, and we don't have folks on the board. That needs to be clarified. Let me point out, for example, the area which Ms. Dickinson was referring to. Let me see. There is nothing in this itself that says that citizens cannot interact with the employees of the district. There's nothing in here that says that. It does. It's specifically talking about interaction between the directors and the staff, and the directors and the public. That's what if a citizen talks to somebody, or let's say they think that the staff is not doing their job, or that somebody is being mistreated. Either way, directions here are it should come to a board member, who would then take that in the appropriate direction. I don't have any problem with that, but again, there's a sufficient lack of clarity here that I really think it needs to be looked at again, and I don't see the sense that it's so urgent that we need to pass it today without looking at it further.
Okay. Vice President Farmer.
It seems that in the past, and not just with myself, but I think maybe other members of the board, but I know when I came on board, so to speak, no pun intended, I was given the opportunity to go out and interact with various staff members, especially those out in the field. And it was because of that I was able to have a greater understanding of some of the problematic issues that existed in both infrastructure and in how various folks and staff were interacting with one another. And you know, my own personal feeling is that the board, you know, within the parameters of good taste, so to speak, and good judgment, we should be given the freedom, let's say, the freedom to ask questions of staff and ask questions, especially, I'll just use this as an example. Let's say that Director Howell, who is the chairperson of Resources and Infrastructure, he has a concern about something at wastewater. I think he shouldn't have any problem with contacting Chief Plant Operator Alchin or perhaps another staff member as to a particular issue that he might be concerned about, or call in to find out if there are particular issues that he should be apprised of, and that there shouldn't be any problem. I'm just using that as an example. I'll use this as another example, and it might not be quite as pertinent, but this particular issue happened, I think, right after I got on the board, and there was this huge concern about an area that was being flooded, you know, just north of where, I can't think of the name of the old restaurant, I know where the Hamlet used to be, but it's going through changes.
Central Ground.
Thank you so much. And so there was this concern that there was some major flooding going on out there, and we might have to go in and hire an agency to do some repiping and figure out what was wrong, because we could just see this major buildup. And Bob Greshens was various members of staff, including people that were retired, came out and alluded to the fact that's where the problem existed. And it was only Engineer Greshens who said, well, I don't think this is the problem. I think it exists somewhere else. And while the majority of folks said, no, we need to spend the money and investigate this issue right now, Mr. Greshens said that we shouldn't go that route. And it was ultimately determined that Mr. Greshens was right and everybody else was wrong. And I only say that because I had the good fortune of going out there and witnessing this entire set of circumstances take place. And I think as a board member, being able to have more, immediate information onto how this issue is being dealt with gave me, let's say, more insight as to how things do and don't take place. So that's my comment.
Thank you. Director Steidel.
I did want to just to address something of the concerns that you had, Director Howell, in mentioning that this only talks to the directors. It doesn't talk in that recourse of the community coming to the directors. And there's a very specific reason for that. This is the bylaws for the directors. These aren't the bylaws for the community. So the language is bound to be used in terms, especially where it says director guidelines, to speak directly to the director definition and the interaction. So I don't know that the fact that there isn't any mention about the community coming to the directors has to be embedded within this document.
Okay. Director Howell.
That really wasn't quite my point. However, I do have to say this document is not for directors only. It's open to the public to be read and understood. And if the public doesn't understand it, we have a problem. That is my point.
I have no issue with that. I was just speaking to the fact that you specifically indicated that you didn't see anything in the language of this that talked to the community being able to talk to the directors.
Not quite. What, if I may read the, may I read the paragraph?
Okay.
If I can find it, hold on. Okay, we're looking at probably the last two sentences of the last paragraph of 7.2. When presented with questions or complaints from citizens or staff, that's mm-hmm. the sentence I'm talking about.
Okay.
Related to operational or personnel matters. So we're not saying that the citizens can't talk to us, but I wanted as much to point it out to some of the folks that are talking to us who clearly did not understand or see that sentence.
Okay.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
So I would like this to go back to Mr. Carmel for another go-around to see if it doesn't have to be brief, but it does need to be crystal clear.
Can you define what crystal clear is so he knows what you need to come back and be presented with so that we can vote on this?
May I? Sorry, we don't need to go back and forth like this.
Well, no, that's okay. I'm just a little bit concerned about how we get crystal clarity for everybody. I think that's almost impossible these days, okay? And without having a document that's huge. Let me take, maybe Director Rice has a solution here.
So I had my mic off, and so people may not have heard when Director Stidell began her comments about that she interpreted it differently, and I said, so change my mind. And she made a good case for the fact that we do have these standing committees now, and I think to Director Howell's concerns, it is important to note that these are rules that govern the board, and we set our own rules within the guidelines of what the state laws are. And to be clear is important because people do go to documents and read them and then try to, and I can tell you firsthand, this is my first experience in government documents was with the North Coast Area Plan, because I owned a house at the time. I wanted to know what I could and couldn't do. But then I also knew I'd look across the street, and that house across the street sure as heck didn't look like it met the standards in the North Coast Area Plan. So some things are enforced, some things are not. Some things need attention, some things don't. Some things get attention, whether we like it or not. I think it's important to have this discussion so that the five people that are governed by these bylaws are clear on what they mean. And if that is the case, I don't have a problem with the way that they currently are, except I don't particularly care for the negative language, the director should not, starting a phrase. But that's something that can be wordsmithed over a longer period, and each year, this does come back each year so that each new board, if there are new board members, gets to set the rules for themselves. So for in that sense, I don't think that we need, and we'd be living under the old 7.2 if we don't pass it today, for that matter, as another argument that perhaps might persuade you.
I'm sorry. We have another request for public comment. Ms. Dean.
not quite sure if what Director Howell mentioned on the last paragraph totally cleared it up for me. I still see a little contradiction here. On the one hand, it says individual board members should not involve themselves or interfere in personnel matters. But then in the last paragraph, it says, when presented with questions or complaints from citizen or staff related to operational or personnel matters, board members should listen to the concerns expressed and either confer with the general manager or district counsel as appropriate, or refer the individual to the general manager for resolution of their concerns. But it's saying that the board member should listen to the staff. So is that not interacting with staff?
Listen but not respond, I think, is the... And certainly not direct, okay?
Or initiating.
Or initiating those conversations.
But if a member of staff comes to them with a problem...
We can listen and then direct them to go to the general manager, legal counsel, or we can
okay,
go with
them. Okay, it was just a little confusing to me there. It looked a little contradictory. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have it.
All right. Director Howell.
I'm open to being convinced also. So I at this point, I think just bringing this out and so that the folks here in the room and the folks out listening can be clear that what we're talking about are rules for ourselves, not for them. They can come and talk to anybody they want. It's no problem. It may be a problem for the management of the district, but, you know, that's a different issue. And the other thing is... whatever the other thing was. No, I'm happy as long as is out there and people understand that this is for us and we're not trying to cut off anybody. But the one thing which I think is implied but not said, and which is okay, it's not our job to go out amongst the staff and say, how are you liking your work? Or what are you bugged about? That is way what we really, and I think that's what's addressed here, is that we want to avoid that. We can say, how are things going, you know? Or do you need more equipment or something of that nature, but not are you happy at your job or do you like your manager? Mm-hmm. We don't need, that's not an area we are you wouldn't want to get into there anyway. So I'm happy with it. Just having the discussion I think is sufficient.
I move that we approve resolution 10-2019.
Thank you. Second?
I'll second.
Director Steidel seconds. Can we have a roll call, please?
Director Rice?
Aye.
Director Steidel?
Aye.
Director Howell?
Aye.
Vice President Farmer?
Aye.
President Pearson?
Aye. Thank you all for a good discussion on that. That was fun. Good job.
Clarity.
We're down to the last one. We got some clarity. Last one, 11E, discussion and consideration to nominate a candidate for election to the CSDA Board of Directors, Coastal Network, Seat B. Ms. Madrid, do you have any other introduction for this one?
Thank you, Mr. President. Yes, the only thing is there are a few expectations if somebody does want to serve on this board or be nominated to serve on this board that you may want to pay a little bit closer attention to. They are expected to go to 4 to 5 meetings annually in Sacramento, participate on at least one committee 3 to 5 times a year in Sacramento, and attend at a minimum the following CSDA events, which is Special District's Legislative Day and CSDA Annual Conference, and complete the 4 modules of Special District Leadership Academy within 2 years. It is a 3-year term, and if somebody wants to be nominated, this is a good time.
Okay. Director Rice.
Oh, I don't want to be. Is there anybody that wants to be, would like to be nominated for the CSDA?
If there were more than one of me, maybe. It sounded interesting.
You want to be on the CSDA board, Director, Vice President Farmer?
Well, actually, you know, in looking over the folks that are already on the board, I believe it was 5 of the 6 are general managers. So obviously they've got, and they would be the people that would be most busy, and yet they're already doing this gig. And I think 3 of them are up for re-election, and they're going for it. I thought what was really cool was that the person from the Sierra Network from the Lincoln Rural County Fire Protection District. Her name is Ginger Root. And I was just thinking, you know, her parents were pretty cool. That's all I could say. It looks like a really busy job.
Says Harry Farmer.
Yeah, it looks like a really busy job, and boy, if somebody's got time to do it, more power to them.
So I think we don't need to take any action on this. It doesn't sound like anybody's
agreed.
Interested. We don't even need to.
We pass.
Then we're done.
All of us are busy enough. Thank you. All right. Future agenda items. I have a bunch. So you want me to start or no?
I just want to make sure that we're going to have a discussion next month about the issue of homeless encampments on district property.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
As long as that's already on your list.
I'd really like to have the town hall happen before we happen.
Okay.
But in any case, we'll have it on the agenda.
Okay. Maybe we can coordinate that through the NCAC liaison or something.
Susie McDonald was certainly talking in terms of it happening in a relatively short period of time.
Do you think I should go ahead and contact her for that then and go ahead and set it up?
Well, why don't you go ahead and ask, you know, pursue that a little bit and try to find out when that's going to be. And that
okay,
kind of
but let,
and let,
let
me know.
Let the NCAC kind of work out, do the scheduling and...
Yeah, we'll participate.
We're having enough fun already, let them.
I think there's a consensus among the board that we would like to be participating in solutions and discussions. So, so communicating that I think would be appropriate.
We have to be.
Okay, so I'll commence start that and we'll see where we go, and then I can communicate to you all if it's before our next meeting, then we can. Okay.
To
Dave, yeah, to Mr. President Pearson, yeah.
Thank you. For the next meeting, I would also like to get a review of the goals that we set back in January, including the organizational goals, if staff would be prepared to talk to all their organizational goals and how far along they are. And we will talk as a board to the two main goals that we had, and each one of the directors of the standing committees will talk about the goals that they were, quote-unquote, assigned from the 10 that we ended up with, I believe. So we'll have that on the agenda. I'd like a quick discussion. Should we have something on the agenda on ranch management plan? I just reread that, and I don't know that we're doing what the ranch management plan wanted us to do. It's supposed to have a yearly report and that kind of thing, or should we assign that to the PROS Commission and ask them to have a review of the ranch plan?
That sounds like a good agenda item to have that discussion.
Okay.
Okay.
Good. We can do that. Bike racks. I'd also like to get bike racks on the agenda if Mr. Carmel could come forward with some kind of agreement that we could do with them or something like that.
We've already drafted it, so that shouldn't be a problem.
Okay. And the last thing, one of our goals, of our two goals, is to have a mission and vision meeting and statement. So I am open for discussion on setting a date to have the town hall to discuss a mission for our district.
So, okay.
And does anyone...
I think we definitely need to have one of those. Do we have it in April, or do we wait a split second and go in May instead? I don't know how loaded the agenda is already with. I mean, if we're going to be discussing all of our goals and everything, it might be of
that'd
all
be the
committees.
Time to go ahead and set the date.
Yeah,
we could do that. Yeah, we'll set the date in April then. And have the meeting hopefully in May.
That would be. That sounds.
All right. Those are the ones that I had on my list for future agenda items. Does anybody else have anything else? Vice President Farmer, please.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Nothing. Oh, Director Steidel.
I don't know whether it needs to be an agenda item, but I guess I'd like to have a better mindset of the process and cycle on the 1920 budget and when we would have expectations of those elements hitting the board. Director Howell and I had conversations also about the potential of our two committees being together for part of that CIP process to try to kickstart that a little bit in its path forward to support the budget process. But I guess I'd like to confirm in my own mind what the timing and the expectations are amongst all of us in that.
All right. Can staff please give us a timeline as to when the mid-year budget review would be done?
Oh, actually, I was thinking of the 1920 budget, okay. The new budget coming up.
Okay. So should we?
Next year.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, first we're going to bring forward the mid-year budget in April for the board, and then I believe we'll start working in May on development of the next budget, next year's 1920s budget.
Okay.
We'll bring a draft or a preliminary review to the Finance Committee and then bring the changes and recommendations to the board in May.
In May. All right. Is that acceptable?
So you're expecting to bring the draft or the preliminary to the Finance Committee in April?
May.
In May for it come forward. Okay. So it probably won't hit the board's meeting until June, the first meeting in June, right? Because we're meeting on the third Tuesday.
In May?
Of every month.
Yeah, well, then it'll probably be June, yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
Director Allen.
For clarification, what we're talking about bringing forth is, are we talking about bringing forth what the process will be, that is to say when you need X or Y, or are we talking about bringing forth a preliminary budget?
A preliminary budget.
Okay, so you're talking June for a preliminary budget?
For the board.
To the board. Okay, that gives us a date to work towards.
Yeah, that's really
late. Right. I believe that you don't have to adopt a budget until August 31st.
Right, but the committees have certain, for example, infrastructure is going to take some time to get up to speed. People don't come into that committee knowing anything about wastewater, for example, and then to review a CIP list when you don't know anything is not terribly useful. So we need time to bring people up to speed and get them out there in order to have some meaningful input for the Finance Committee. So whereas many people on the Finance Committee know finance, but nobody on the Infrastructure Committee knows anything about wastewater or water reclamation or how to provide water to a community. And so we are right now in the process of, you know, getting that. But I just need to know how hard do I have to beat on these folks to get them to do their homework and so that they can do a meaningful and useful contribution to the Finance Committee. I just need to know what we're working for.
One suggestion could be that we bring the CIP priority list, and they could review that while they're touring the wastewater. I mean,
good
maybe
idea.
Not at the same time, in consecutive meetings.
Now, they all have a copy, and I plan on communicating to them.
Right.
You need to look at this real closely, and then when things are more concrete and they can ask questions, I think it will come, you know. But okay, very good. And actually, to carry it with them wouldn't be a bad idea.
So it may be that you'll need an extra meeting with the Finance Committee sometime the end of April, beginning of May, in order to discuss CIP and the amount of money that will be available?
Yes, possibly. I think what I'd like to do on that, although we'll have to kind of wait until Director Steidel has talked to her folks as well, I don't think we can afford to, because it's a lot of work involved, and I don't want to spend time that could be working on this problem communicating before we're ready.
Right.
So what I see happening, but we'll have to discuss it further, is that we may want to have everybody have their regular meetings, but then at the appropriate moment have a special meeting. You know, that way we're not losing
right.
any
meeting,
because
we,
Yeah, yeah.
If I might observe, I think it's important that on future agendas that we have, that we ensure that we allow for the possibility that we set up a joint meeting, because I think it has to be noticed just the same way that a regular meeting does. So on if two standing committees are meeting together?
I think the reason we set it up the way we did was so that
it's a special meeting, so it's only 24 hours.
Okay. And we also need to recognize that the committees, even the two ones that have been here for a year, are new, and well-oiled machine is not where we are yet. So working some of these things out and asking the questions about scheduling, I think, is important. But we also need to acknowledge that we are on a learning curve, and I think that's totally. And if anybody has complaints about that, we're working hard as we can to learn as fast as we can.
So, if I may.
Yes, sir.
So maybe an agenda item, just to have it on the agenda, would be some discussion about where these committees are going, you know, in terms of their coordination, because this is the only time we can really.
We have the goals on the next. It's yeah, already probably. On the next agenda.
Yeah, the goals, and also we'll have reports from your committees also, so that'd be another time to discuss that. So
the other thing is, in February, I was just reviewing the minutes. We had a motion to have the Pilch project come back with revised plans and such. And initially, there was a three-month time frame that was desired. We did go with a six-month time frame, but it would be nice to have an update or know how that's going so we can bring it back when it may not be for April. Mm. I'm just saying let's not let it drop off the list because it was only a six-month extension.
Okay.
I can just a brief comment. That was that was up at the NCAC meeting last night. So in my next report at our next meeting, I can give you an update on where that is.
Great. Thank you. Any other issues, questions, comments, and we are adjourned to closed session. Thank you.